the edge of our hope, at the end of our time. We've chosen not only to believe in ourselves, but in each other. Today we face the monsters that are at our door. Today we are canceling the apocalypse.
Now get the hell out of our galaxy.
The strength of this starship lay in its diversity.
You see, our glorious diversity, that is not a threat to who we are. It makes us who we are.
You don't just let things happen. You make a stand. You say no. You have the guts to do what's right when everyone else just runs away.
But we must fight this darkness that is threatening to engulf us. Each of us must be a ray of hope.
Rebellions are built on hope.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fandy Show.
The Janus episode. Looking back at the hellscape of 2016, looking forward to the dystopia of 2017.
Wow.
So appropriate.
It's funny because it's true.
Oh, I'm Sean.
I'm Jen.
I'm David.
I'm Julia.
I'm Trish.
I'm Paul.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Mike.
And we're here today for our very first episode of the year, where we're going to talk about our favorite things from 2016 and what we're really looking forward to in 2017. We'll put that all in the show notes at the end, so you can find the episode. This would be episode 313, unless the world ends, and then you won't actually get to hear it. That will suck.
The cockroaches a million years from now that evolve from the nuclear ruins will get to hear it.
We will be as their gods.
So before we get into the list, we do need to make official what we are doing this year, because last year we did not have a theme, but this year we do have a theme, and we all discussed it and came to the conclusion that this year's theme would be inclusion, a very broad concept, but one that I think will make for a very interesting year. So we're going to do our best to include people on the show whose voices haven't been heard here before, and to do more to be an inclusive podcast throughout the year, to the best of our abilities. If you have any suggestions on topics you think we should cover or people we should have on the show, you can go to skiffyandfandy.com/suggest-a-topic, and you can do exactly that. Let us know what you think we should be doing. And if you are an author or other kind of creative and you would like to be on the show, please contact us at skiffyandfandy@gmail.com. That way we can, you know, talk to you about possibly getting you on the show and talking about whatever you have going on. And on the other note, please do consider supporting us on Patreon. That is at patreon.com/skiffyandfanty. We'd like to do some exciting stuff this year, including some international travel that I think most of the members of the show are doing and may show up in our list later in the episode. We also have some things we'd otherwise like to do, like translations and things like that, and we could really use your support. So if you would like, please support us there at patreon.com/skiffyandfanty. If you're already a Patreon supporter, please send us an email and let us know, because we've got perks coming up for you that we'd like to send it to you. So in the near future, you all should expect an interview with Foz Meadows, which is a hangover from 2016. We're also going to start up the Babylon 5 rewatch sessions, and I'm sure in the next probably 3 weeks, we will start looking at films from 2017, plus J.A. Pitts and Mike Martinez are going to be on the show for something, and Torture Cinema. Probably Mike's going to be on for that, and we're going to pick something that's going to make him cry.
Awesome.
The other Mike. Not you, Mike. I mean, we'll pick one for you to cry, too, but...
Okay. No. Getting Mike Martinez to cry is great. Make sure he brings beer.
Yes. Well, supposedly he's making cider, so we could have that be the first official Skiffy cider, which I'm sure we could make millions on.
Nice.
Alrighty. So let's get started with the best of 2016, the way this will work, is everyone will get their little space and they get to talk about all the stuff they love, up to a reasonable limit of 10,347 items. If you go over that limit, I will stop you. But otherwise, you're game to do that. So we're going to start with Jen. So Jen, what were some of your favorite things?
Okay. So in 2016, it was actually kind of a tough choice. I consumed way too much filmed media this year, but I'm going to go with Luke Cage. I think it was pretty groundbreaking, all around, a fantastic series. I am really looking forward to the possibility that Misty Knight might get her own show. Please, please, please. It was my biggest ship of the year, between Shades and Mariah. If you haven't started watching the Marvel Universe shows on Netflix yet, please do so. They're worth it. Particularly, I think Luke Cage is a standout, as is Jessica Jones, of course, and I'm looking forward to the next installments of both of those. In terms of print, I did not get that much reading done, unfortunately, and I think the only thing that I read this year that actually came out in 2016 that I really enjoyed was Faith, the comic book written by Jodi Hauser. It was just a real pleasure to see someone overweight that was kick-ass in a comic book. I am way behind. All I got to read was the miniseries that reintroduced her outside of her team group, but well worth the read. Gorgeous art, and I look forward to purchasing more. And then on a personal 2016 note, my son coming out as transgender was probably the biggest, most important thing that happened to us this year. And I really look forward to how he blossoms over the coming year.
Fantastic. Alrighty then, I guess on that note, we'll jump to you, David.
Well, one can say a great many things about 2016.
This is a quasi-family appropriate podcast.
Exactly. So, yeah, the one thing I can say that was very positive about it is that it was a very, very good year for horror. Again, we could probably extend that to beyond the entertainment into other realms as well. But as far as film horror was concerned, it did very, very well. I mean, just in box office terms, it in terms of profitability, it knocked all the other genres into a cocked hat. And I think the real standout for me, I'm torn between a few possibilities, but I'm settling on The Witch. It was, strictly speaking, a 2015 film, but it didn't get wide release until 2016, which is when I saw it. It's so rare to see a full-on period piece horror film, never mind one set in that particular period. And the script, the poetry of the language in that film was so striking. Such care in the crafting of the language, so evocative, and it a film whose images lingered long in the mind and went to places that I was surprised it would go, and it did without mercy. So that was, for me, the big standout for 2016. And looking ahead to 2017, I think what has most piqued my curiosity is Jordan Peele's Get Out, which looks like it'll have lots of really strong meat thematically in it, and it suggests all sorts of really interesting possibilities just based on the trailer that we've seen. So I'm really, really curious to see what he does with that. And though I'll also add, I'm quite curious to see the Death Race 2050. Roger Corman's producing a follow-up to Death Race 2000, a film that today now looks like a documentary. So I'm curious to see where that is. But I'd say Get Out is what I'm most looking forward to in 2017. Sorry, I jumped ahead on that, didn't I?
You did. You just did it all in one go, David.
You're a law unto yourself. Damn Canadians!
All right, Julia, we will jump to you.
Okay, so in 2016, I saw a ton of movies that I really, really liked. And it's one of those things where it was like, I would think it would be really hard to choose one. But no, at the very end of the year, one leapt out as OMG amazing. And that is Hidden Figures, which is about computers at NASA in the 1960s and preparing for the moon launch and getting humans into space. And it's three black women are the protagonists. It's full of women doing math and science. It's funny, it's uplifting, it was just a joy to watch from beginning to end, and that gets my Best Movie of 2016 award, so that was super exciting. Other movies that I saw and liked included Zootopia, Moana, Ghostbusters, Hail Caesar, Arrival, Rogue One, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, which was terrible and I enjoyed it thoroughly. So you can see there was a giant list to choose from, but Hidden Figures was by far the standout. As for books, I read several books that I really liked in 2016. I didn't actually make a list of them, which is very sad. But the one book that when people ask me what I loved in 2016 and what I'm recommending over and over again is Carlos Hernandez's short story collection, The Assimilated Cuban's Guide to Quantum Santeria, which is just amazing. It is a wonderful collection of short stories with fantasy elements and beautiful prose, and they will break your heart and they will make you laugh your ass off because they are hilarious and also heart-wrenching, and that's just Carlos's way. He's amazing. Definitely recommend The Assimilated Cuban's Guide to Quantum Santeria out through Rosarium Press. And as for experiences in 2016, I went to several cons and I had a great time at Worldcon in Kansas City, but I think my favorite con-going experience of 2016 was ICFA in Florida, because you just cannot beat looking at crocodiles, I'm sorry, alligators, looking at alligators in the water and swimming and having fantastic conversations about books while doing all of these things. And it was wonderful and lovely. So that was the highlights of 2016 for me.
Awesome, Juliet. Thank you. And now on to you, Trish.
Okay, I didn't see a lot of movies this year. Probably Arrival would be the one standout from that, although I also greatly enjoyed Ghostbusters and I loved Rogue One. As for TV, I don't have a lot of premium channels or lists, watch services or anything, but one thing I did make the effort to watch and would recommend, if I could tell someone to watch one thing from 2016, it would be The Expanse. The series on sci-fi, adapted from the James Corey novels, Leviathan Wakes, etc. It was a fantastic example of a complex universe, a near future science fiction with interesting interplanetary dynamics and fascinating characters and a lot of show, not tell in the details of the world building. So I would highly, highly, highly recommend that. As for books, my favorite book of 2016 was Lovecraft Country by Matt Ruff. It's set in the 1950s, mainly in Chicago and some in Massachusetts. And the main character is the nephew of a man who writes The Safe Negro Travel Guide, which of course is based on the real world green books for where people of color of that era could travel safely, stay in hotels, eat at restaurants, that kind of thing, if they had to go on the road somewhere. Anyway, this guy, his father, gets in trouble, and he tries to rescue him. Eldritch elements come into it. But it's really, what really interested me was the contrast between the real horror and the supernatural horror. For instance, there's one point where the protagonist gets pulled over by a cop or a sheriff, and the guy sees a copy of A Princess of Mars in the front seat or wherever. And there's a moment of just really scary, scary tension because the white cop sees the black guy with a weird book with a half-naked white girl on the cover. And I was really afraid more of what was going to happen at that moment than at a lot of the supernatural scary moments. It was a wonderful blending of real-life horror with other kinds of horror. And I liked, there were quite a few interesting characters in the book, and I just liked where it went. As for my other third category of things that I liked this year, I started playing Storium, or playing and writing on Storium.com. That is a story game website, round robin storytelling, where there's a narrator who sets up a scenario and various writer players have a character that they react to the scenario and develop their character. And I've just been loving it. I hadn't really done any creative writing since high school, if I remember correctly, but this has gotten me warming up my creative writing skills again. And it lets me role play according to my schedule, which is a weird schedule. Makes it really hard to get together with other people for role playing games, but this has really satisfied that and stretched my writing skills in exciting ways.
Yeah, I just wanted to pipe in and ditto Trish on The Expanse. I had read the first book in the series, but watching the show, I was just consistently really impressed by the production design, the performances by the leads, the way that it threaded together several different narratives. It's been getting a lot of buzzes like, does for science fiction what Game of Thrones does for fantasy. And what I think they really mean is this is the high production prestige series that will produce a lot of imitators or will bring in a broader audience or bring the genre in the format to a wider audience. And I'm really excited.
Awesome. Fantastic. All right. So Paul, it's on you, sir.
Okay, so 2016 was chock-a-block with genre movies. Someone at work recently asked me, do you watch movies other than genre movies? And I watch mostly genre movies and genre-adjacent movies, so the answer to that, no, but I still can have a full replete schedule of movies to watch, even just with that quote-unquote narrow constraints. I mean, I liked Ghostbusters a lot. I really liked Arrival. I want to reach back and tag again a movie we talked about early in 2016. That's Captain America: Civil War, because I still go back to that set piece battle where all the sets of the Avengers were fighting each other on that airport tarmac. It is a glorious scene. We get to see Spider-Man, a new Spider-Man, actually debut in a new and interesting way. And I keep going back to the movie as doing things that the second Avengers movie failed at doing, and that is introducing new characters, new situations, and extending the universe in a logical way. I mean, it's a little overstuffed, but I was afraid that after the second Avengers movie that we hit a downward spiral with Marvel, and Captain America: Civil War proved no, we didn't. And I'm very, very thankful for that. As far as books, I didn't read 11 Billy books because I'm not Sarah Chorn. I only read 2 Billy books. So, but I could spend an hour talking about all the books I read. I could mention, say, Mike's Genre Knots novellas. I could mention the novellas of Matt Wallace, The Sin Du Jour, which are really good. Like Trish, I didn't read Lovecraft Country yet, but I've read other Lovecraft stuff like, Dream Quest of Elliot Bow by Kids Johnson was a fine trip into the dreamlands. I read it early this year, but it's a 2016 book. Hammers on Bone by Cassandra Claw is really, really good. It's Lovecraftian noir, and it's really, really dark and tasty, and I really like it a lot, and it might go on my Hugo ballot. The one book I really, really liked out of 2016, the book that come up, the political landscape, changes that we've had in the last few months is, Malka Older's Infomocracy. Infomocracy does show a different kind of way going forward with politics, and it's an optimistic view of what politics could look like in the future, and it doesn't give a roadmap for us to get there, but it shows that we are not preordained to descend into a dystopian hellscape of authoritarian dystopic regimes. We could have a better future than what we have now, and I'm looking forward to where she goes with that universe. On a personal note, I finally, after years of my car aging and aging, I finally got a new car, so I got to take 2 nice long road trips this year. I did go out to the East Coast to see family and see the old stomping grounds in New York City. I also got to go to see my best friend who was coming back on a road trip of her own, and saw her in Colorado, got to spend time with her and her daughter, and I also got to spend time with another member of this podcast hiking in the wilderness for a few hours. That would be Alex. And of course, without Alex, when I tried hiking the wilderness on my own, I wound up having adventures and wound up getting lost for a while. So this might be a moral. I should go hiking more with locals and less on my own. I don't know, but I got some amazingly good pictures and good experiences out of those trips. And I look forward to, hopefully, when they let me take vacations again, taking more in 2017, but we'll see.
All right, Paul. So Alex, what about you?
All right, so 2016, looking at positive things about it. All right, so for movies, yeah, the standout movie for me was definitely Hidden Figures, which is not technically science fiction because it's a historical film, but I would consider it to be related in the same way, say, The Right Stuff was related to the point that it got a Hugo nomination, which, yes, I am certainly implying something about Hidden Figures and Hugo nomination. I'm just laying it out there. I also really loved the new Ghostbusters because, especially the way it was flavored with the salty tears of man babies, and Deadpool. Those were like my favorite movies from this year. For books, like hands down, it was The Obelisk Gate by N.K. Jemisin. It's the second book in the Broken Earth trilogy. The first book was The Fifth Season. I love them so much because I basically love everything that N.K. Jemisin writes, and this had extra added geology in it, so it was in my super happy spot. And I also do want to mention The United States of Japan, because I read that, and that was pretty awesome, too. But, I mean, N.K. Jemisin is everything. And then for, like, a TV thing, when I was on vacation in Idaho with my parents, my mom insisted that we sit down and watch Stranger Things, which ended up with me basically marathoning it in one night with my mom, and I'm so glad that she made me watch it, because it's a really fun show. And, like, personal things, I escaped the sweaty hell pit that is Houston, Texas, and am now happily living in Denver, Colorado again, and have been since June. And the other, like, absolute huge thing that happened to me in 2016 that I acquired a literary agent, amazing Dong Wan song with Morgan Murray, and he's super awesome, and I'm excited about everything! So 2016 on a personal level was not a garbage fire, and that's nice.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, like Rachel said, I think that Hidden Figures absolutely counts as related to science fiction because it is actually science and it is doing space travel stuff, which is very important to our community, and I'm absolutely putting it in my Hugo ballot. Also, I super agree about Nora Jemison.
Excellent. All right, Mike, what about you, sir?
All right, so... for a written thing, I had a really great reading year. I read a ton of comics. I've been reading a pretty goodly amount of romance, mostly contemporary romance, and it just makes me happy, which was a really good way of escaping and doing mood regulation through fiction. I ditto folks on Infomocracy. I really, really like that one. Heroine Complex, we interviewed Sarah Kuhn on the podcast, so definitely go back and listen to that episode and read the book. But I'm going to give it to Last Call at the Nightshade Lounge by Paul Kruger. I met Paul very briefly at Emerald City Comic Con, and he gave me a galley of the book, and I read it just around when it came out. It's an urban fantasy from Quirk Books, and it will appeal to a lot of people if you like a standard urban fantasy setup. You've got a young 20-something woman, kind of new adult era, who doesn't really want to do the career jobs that her parents want her to do. And so instead she gets she runs into her old flame and gets a job working with them at a bar. And it turns out that bartenders are the secret guardians of humanity to protect them against demons and monsters that can be only be seen when you're intoxicated. So it's a whole urban fantasy mythos around mixology and liquor as magic. So it will definitely appeal to anybody who likes my books, like the Geekomancy books for sure. And it's just got a great energy to it. It has an Asian American lead. So if you're looking to get more books about or by people of color, definitely check out Last Call at the Nightshade Lounge. It really has stuck with me, even as I've read a lot of things. It has the fun bit where every chapter, there's like a 2 or 3 page spread that gives you the magical history of a liquor and the cocktail that you can make it with, because every different cocktail gives you different superpowers in the magic, and it's really fun. For televisual stuff, I ditto a lot of what folks have said. I'm going to give it up to Gravity Falls, which actually ended with like a three-parter that aired partially in 2016. So I'm going to say it counts. It is a Disney XD animated show, but mostly for adults, I think, in that way that sometimes you can only do something for adults with animation. The main characters are a pair of twins who go to stay with their great uncle for the summer in a kind of a tiny town called Gravity Falls. That's basically what would happen if you took a whole bunch of American folklore and like tabloid stuff and kind of smooshed it together and threw it all at one town. So it's like X-Files meets a bunch of other things, but the main characters are 12. It's really funny and goofy, and it was a great break from the world kind of seeming to be burning all around us like the dog in that cartoon. And I think the super cool experience that I'm going to shout out is NerdCon Stories, which is a really distinct, fairly singular conference. I went to the second one. There've only been two so far, and there may or may not be another one. NerdCon Stories was an interdisciplinary celebration of stories and storytelling. So they had novelists, poets, spoken word performance artists, podcasters, game designers, and folks from a whole different, all over the creative sphere. And they were all brought together under this NerdCon banner. It's run by a company that is created by Hank and John Green, the Vlog Brothers. And my friend Jay Swanson went last year and ran a booth for his series Into the Nanton. So we teamed up to do one this year, and I brought my Genrenauts. I got the omnibus print copies just in time to get to the con. So like slid in by the skin of my everything to be able to sell them there. And I had an absolutely astonishing time. I loved the conference. I really hope they get to do it again. I go to a lot of cons, and NerdCon Stories was completely in a class unto itself in a really magical way. So that's me for 2016.
Fantastic. I guess it's up to me then. Oh boy. So 2016. It was a year that occurred.
It was a thing that happened.
It definitely was a year that happened.
Much as we would wish otherwise.
Yeah, with an extra day and an extra second.
Yeah, this is one of those years where I get to this episode, because we did this last year, and I think we've done it, like, for the past couple years. And then I sit down and I go, well, what's all the stuff I liked? And I can think of, like, a handful of things, because so much of last year just, like, brain wiped me of all my joy. Because last year, like, once about, I think, June hit, like, I stopped enjoying life. And it hasn't stopped, at least until I went and just muted a crap ton of stuff on Twitter. And now I just hear nothing but books. Books and movies. What up? And it's been like a glorious 3 days. Fantastic. So that would be like one of my favorite things is the invention of Twitter apps that allow you to silence things that you need a break from so that you can just enjoy things you want on the social media you care about. Because like the reality is like Facebook, like Twitter, Reddit, like all these places, like it's full of all this stuff we sometimes just can't handle. It's too much crap. And I think being able to, like, detox yourself and, like, take a break, even if it's just for a day, whoever invented that, like, Nobel Prize. Like, Peace Prize. Nobel Peace Prize. That's what that should be for. I'm actually kind of serious about that. They should give that person a Nobel Peace Prize. Because that's, like inner peace. It's kind of a, yeah, whatever, anyway. All right, so things I liked about last year. So television, I didn't get to watch as much stuff as I wanted. I still haven't finished Luke Cage because I'm a terrible human being who barely is worth living. But I did finish Daredevil Season 2, which I thought was fantastic, but Westworld is the thing that has, like, got me lit up on fire, because Westworld is freaking amazing, and it's crazy, and every episode some weird thing happens, and I'm like, what is going on? And it's fantastic. I absolutely love Westworld. It can be a little dark, I think, for some people. It has some themes that I think a lot of people won't like, the opening episode in particular, but it is fantastic, and I love it. And it was something where I was like, I really hoped it would be good. Because if they didn't, it would just be another remake that I just wanted to punch someone in the throat over. But it turned out to be great. Movies. So Deadpool and Arrival have both already been mentioned this episode, but probably the standout for me would be Rogue One, based on the fact that the last time we did a Star Wars episode, I was the saltiest human being that had ever existed, that I have not gone back and listened to that episode again. When I was putting together the Parsec package for, like, clips and stuff that we put up, I listened to that because it got a lot of views, and a second my mouth opened, I was like, nope, this is not going in there, because I should just be blanked out of that episode. I didn't realize how salty I was in that episode. But Rogue One, I was really anticipating it, but really worried that it was going to disappoint me, and it didn't. It was fantastic. I loved it. We did an episode on it. You all know that, so I don't need to talk about it anymore. The other thing is technically it's a 2017 thing, but I'm counting it as last year because I asked to have a course last year and they didn't give me one because they lost my request. And then I got one. Earlier this year, like, I don't know, 10 days ago, I got like a last minute request to teach an upper division course to take over for another professor. And I could do it. And I'm really excited because it is a course on queer autobiographies and semi-autobiographical fiction. And it's going to be exciting. This semester is fantastic. I've got, like, my house just covered in books on just, like, queer history, like, everything. Everything I can, just, like, add as much knowledge in my brain basket as possible. And it's fantastic. And it's going to be great. We're starting with some Truman Capote. It's going to be wonderful. So that's my 2016. It's fantastic. I mean, only if you think about the things that I just said. That was fantastic.
Yeah, we're not talking about the rest of it. We're not talking about reality land.
We're focusing on the positive right now.
Look, this reality that we've just created is good enough. This should just be the new reality. It's just what we're... Yeah, this bubble of joy. Anyone can come in here, by the way. You're allowed in, as long as you bring cookies. All right. Well, shall we talk about what we're anticipating for 2017? So I'm going to start with you, Mike.
All right. So there's a few different things in 2017 I'm jazzed about, TV and movie-wise. I think I'm going to go with something slightly less obvious and say Legion, the upcoming FX TV show starring kind of a secondary X-Men character. I'm a huge X-Men fan. I've been an X-Men fan since around when the cartoon came on and I was very small. And I've been kind of bemoaning the lack of a solid X-Men TV show because there's a lot of opportunities there. Legion is not that expected X-Men show. It looks like it's going to be something much more cinematographically ambitious and conceptually complicated. There are going to be some challenges that the show will face because how centrally it's premised on a certain version of mental illness. But I'm very interested to see if they do it in a way that is interesting enough to justify or deal and or effective at dealing with the questions of the central premise. And I'm hoping that if it succeeds, we'll then see other X-Men universe TV shows. Because for goodness sakes, how is there not a Xavier / Jean Grey Academy TV show on the CW or MTV right now? This should have been happening for years, but we'll see. For written things, there's a lot of cool comics. I'm excited to keep reading Bitch Planet, which I think unfortunately becomes ever more relevant by the day. And it was already amazing and super relevant. And I'll be probably putting it on my Hugo list again for this year. I think the trade is eligible this year. That seems like a thing. I'm also super jazzed for Cameron Hurley's The Stars Are Legion, which I think other people may talk about more, so I'll let them do that. And my something else is that I am very excited, even though we don't know much about Mass Effect Andromeda, the new video game in the Mass Effect universe. There was the trilogy of games that I absolutely adored. I was not one of the people who thought that Mass Effect 3 destroyed everything and ruined childhoods. I really liked it, and I haven't even gone, or I went back and played the extended ending, but I haven't even done the Big Citadel DLC, which people say like really saved it or whatever for them. But Andromeda goes to a whole new subsection of this universe, and I'm hoping that they build on the successes that they've had and deal with the challenges that come with a premise where humanity becomes the interloper and the colonial force. And I hope that they, in typical BioWare fashion, find the nuance there and lead with characterization. And I look forward to going back into that setting in 2017. And that's me.
All right, fantastic. All right, Alex, up to you.
All right, so looking forward to 2017. There's, I think, actually a decent amount of stuff to be excited about for science fiction and fantasy film. But what I want to focus on is a independent film, or a smaller one, a foreign film, that technically it came out in 2016, but that was just the UK release. It released in 2017 in the US. It's The Girl with All the Gifts. And I got to watch that, of all things, during a transatlantic flight, and it's amazing. It's basically the United Kingdom reasserting itself as, you know, the king of the zombie movies. Because it's got that same sort of, like, artistic meatiness that 28 Days Later did. But I honestly think that this is, plot-wise, a much better movie. I also know that it's based on a book, which I've heard is also really, really good. But, I mean, the it's haunting, and it's beautiful, and the ending just fucked me up in a serious way, and I want everyone to see The Girl with All the Gifts when it comes out. Just trust me on this. For books, I am, of course, extremely excited about the Broken Earth Book 3, the end of that trilogy coming out. So that's The Stone Sky. And the other book, kind of hilariously, that I'm super excited about reading in 2017 is the Thrawn novel by Timothy Zahn, where, you know, the novel that will make Thrawn, you know, secure his place in the new canon. So I'm super excited about that.
He better like art.
Oh yeah, if he doesn't like art, I'm gonna like throw the book out the window. Well, actually no, because it'll be on my Nook and I don't want to throw my Nook out the window, but metaphorically I will throw the book out the window.
I will buy you a copy just in case so you can throw it out the window.
I like it. And then for TV, I don't actually watch that much TV. Weirdly, I'm more of a movie person, just because I think that way you kind of like get in and get out in an hour and a half or 2 hours and there's no commitment. Apparently I have commitment problems, but I am super excited that they're going to be doing a second season of Stranger Things that's going to, you know, sort of expand on the uh-oh moments at the very end of the first series. And then I'm even more excited about Star Trek Discovery, because let's talk about Lieutenant Commander Sonequa Martin-Green as the main character, and then Captain Michelle Yeoh is going to be this recurring character, and I'm so fucking excited that I just can't.
Yeah, that's basically doing it for me.
Yeah. I was kind of like, I don't know. I've been hurt before by you, Star Trek. And then I heard this and I was like, I'm sold. I'm in.
I'm basically a major fan of Brian Fuller in every way, shape, and form. So I was pretty, but then Michelle Yeoh. And it was like, yes, this is the greatest thing ever. And a woman of color leading it is just, it's amazing.
I don't know that much about Brian Fuller other than I know that I have a lot of friends who are super giant fans of his because Hannibal and...
Pushing Daisies.
Pushing Daisies.
See, I never watched that one and everything I saw about Hannibal grossed me the fuck out. So I was kind of like, And then, but the casting has me. Oh, and then like on a personal level, I just want to mention that I am extremely excited because... My first novel ever comes out this year.
Yay!
Woo! I feel like a grown-up writer now. And everyone, it is called Hunger Makes the Wolf, and it is available for pre-order from many fine outlets.
I've already done it.
Yes! Because Paul is a beautiful human being who smells amazing.
I'm totally biased. The book is amazing. I'm biased, but I'm right.
Mike is definitely right.
You may also be curious to know that if you pre-order it now, you get an 8-inch vinyl of Duran Duran's Hungry Like the Wolf. Yeah, Mike can confirm this at Angry Robot. They've got like 10,000 vinyls.
Dong Wan is going to set that up.
All right, well, congratulations, Al.
Yay! You! I'm so happy!
Just a point of order, Brian Fuller is apparently no longer attached to Star Trek Discovery. As a showrunner, he may still be producing, so he has some sort of hand in it. Yeah, but he's not the, I guess he's just not like at the hands-on anymore.
He's going over to do something else that I am really looking forward to in 2017.
Okay, well, we'll come to that, I guess, when we get to you. So hang on to it. All right, well, Paul, up to you now, sir.
Oh, okay. So starting with movies, when I looked at the list of movies coming out in 2017 in the genre field, I saw lots of sequels and continuing movies in the same universe, and that kind of made me go, too many sequels, too many things. So I'm hoping against hope that something that is not a sequel will actually be watchable and enjoyable, and that is Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets. I recently rewatched Luc Besson's Fifth Element, and once again was swept away at just how gonzo fun it is to watch the movie on all sorts of levels, from visuals to story to characters. And I'm hoping that this new movie will capture some of that magic again, because I mean we sometimes wind up just getting in sequel and franchise-itis, and movies that dare to try to do something different don't always succeed so well. See, following Jupiter Ascending, for example. But I want a new science fiction universe to feast my eyes on, and I'm hoping this movie will fit the bill. I have an inordinate number of books pre-ordered on my Kindle for this year. I think I'm up to 20 at this point. Alex is being one of them. But I kind of do support writers, perhaps to my own financial detriment. So there's lots of books I'm looking forward to. I will not spend an hour listing all of the books. I have read The Stars of Legion, by the way. I've read an arc of that, and yeah, it's kick-ass, so you're gonna love that. So I can't count that as the thing I'm looking forward to. I'm going to pick one book that comes out near the end of September, and that's the third book in Fran Wild's Bone universe, and that would be Horizon. By the end of Cloudbound, at the second book, I got a kind of jaw-dropping of what this world really is like, and now I want to see where does she go from here with that. And I'm really, really excited to see, because she's just gotten better as an author as she's gone from Updraft through her novella, The Jewel in Her Lapidary, through Cloudbound. So I'm hoping for even bigger and better things from Fran in 2017. As far as a personal note, two things I am, well, assuming everything goes well and the spice will flow, and that is, vacation-wise, I'm looking forward to attending to my second international world con, which would be Helsinki. And the other thing I'm hoping, and perhaps when the things drop and I'll start promoting people to actually vote for me. I am a candidate for the 2017 Duff race to send a North American fan to Australia in June. I would like to go to Continuum in June, and if you donate and vote for me, you could possibly make that happen, listeners. A link will be in the show notes. So I would, again, assuming work will let me, but go to Australia and to Helsinki in this for science fiction stuff in a year, that would be a kick-ass year, I'm hoping, against hope. Yeah, it would be great. I would take so many interviews for the show, Sean. I'd fill up our podcast.
Oh, don't worry, Paul. If you get to go, I've already got a plan to have you surgically altered so that you just are a mic.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Well, then it comes to Trish. Trish, what about you? What are you looking forward to this year?
Okay. As for watchable things, there's a whole lot of sequels and remakes of books and things. So there's nothing really new that I'm looking forward to. So the thing that I know I will enjoy is Expanse Season 2, which I believe starts in February, so I will definitely be watching that one. As for books, I have several pre-orders, of course, including Hunger Makes the Wolf. I'm also looking forward to Sarah Gailey's River of Teeth. That is, she gained internet fame as the live tweeter of Star Wars with Space Voldemort and all that. And she's written an alternate history where people imported hippopotami to the delta and rivers of North America for meat animals. And of course, as imported species often do, they ran amok. And so feral hippopotami in the Mississippi and the people who hunt them. Should be fun.
Hungry, hungry hippos!
Well, just a point of fact, the stuff you missed in history class did an episode about this. There was a guy who literally tried to do this. So it's based on an actual historical attempt, I guess.
Yeah, that's the best kind of alternate history, where it's based on something that could have really happened. I'm also really looking forward to All Systems Red by Martha Wells. I love her fantasy, particularly Wheel of the Infinite and Death of the Necromancer. This is her first science fiction book and series that I know of, but as soon as I heard about it, I was all in. And it's going to be part of a series, The Murderbot Diaries. So that just sounds great. As for the other category, I might be going to Balticon. I might be going to Capclave. I haven't made up my mind yet on either. I'm sure I would enjoy either one. As for other things I'm looking forward to, one of my great loves of 2015 was the I Am Sayer podcast, which was about it was sort of a cross between the old Paranoia game and the feel of Welcome to Night Vale. And it was really great. And it ended its third season in 2015, which was the year that I discovered it and raced through everything. The ending had me near tears, driving home at night, not listening to anything else because I couldn't bear to turn anything else on after that. So driving in the dark, thinking about the series, and I thought it was over, and there was nothing from it in 2016, and Adam Bash said he was done and he was going to do something else. But now he's had a Kickstarter, which funded in the first hour and is on to stretch goals for a season 4 of I Am Sayer. So anyone who's interested can find out, more about it from iamsayer.com, and that'll take you to the real website. And that's it.
Whew, that's a lot of stuff. Awesome. Julia, what about you?
Ooh, 2017. Oh, okay. In movies, there's not a whole lot I'm super excited about, though I did see a trailer for the live-action Beauty and the Beast movie when I went to see Moana with my mother and my little 4-year-old nephew, and I have to say I'm looking forward to that a lot. I love Emma Watson. I'm a really big fan of the original Beauty and the Beast animated Disney movie from 1990 or 1991, whenever that came out. So I'm super excited about this. It looks great, and that'll be fun. I'm also, of course, looking forward to Star Wars Episode 8, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I don't know. Movies, we'll see what comes up. Books. Oh, there are so many books that I want to read, and I have a list of them here. The Art of Starving by Sam J. Miller, because he's amazing, and Amberlue by Lara Elena Donnelly are both debut novels that are coming out in 2017 that I'm super looking forward to. Carmen Maria Machado has a short story collection. I love every story she writes, so I'm sure I will love that. The sequel to the Hugo Award-winning novella Binti is coming out next month, Binti Home by Nnedi Okorafor. There is an awesome-looking book by Ellen Klages that's already out, just came out this month, called Passing Strange, and I can't wait to read that because Klages is awesome. I've heard wonderful things about The Bear and the Nightingale by Catherine Arden, and I'm also super looking forward to The Stone Sky, as Alex mentioned, the third in the Jemison trilogy, and Fran Wilde, as Paul mentioned. And just so many, many, many other books that are coming out. I can't wait to read all of them. All the books. And as for experiences, one thing I didn't mention in my wonderful things about 2016 was WriteFest in Houston, Texas, which was fabulous. And this year I get to come back and teach the science fiction workshop. So that's coming up in March. And actually, if you're listening to this and you've always wanted to take a workshop from me, you can totally sign up for it, and I will be teaching a week-long workshop in Houston in March, and we could totally talk about science fiction stories, and then you could write some stories, and I could read them, and it would be awesome. And even if you don't end up doing that, I'm super looking forward to teaching it anyway and just attending that weekend of awesomeness. This year, Ken Liu is one of the keynote speakers, and it's going to be so great! And then Helsinki! Yes! All of us who are going to that, I think we're all looking super forward to it. I'm also tacking on a little visit to Sweden, which is very exciting because I've learned a little bit of Swedish, and I'm going to get to visit Nina Orms in her hometown of Malmö. So I'm very excited about both of those things. So that's me for 2017.
Whew, alrighty. David, it's your turn, sir.
Well, I jumped the gun, didn't I? So I should probably pass the...
Yeah, just shut up. What are you doing? Get out of here.
You don't know. No, he has to come up with more stuff. That's his punishment.
Do you have anything else you're looking forward to, David?
I'm getting my first leave. So after the total holocaust of the last couple of months, I'm really looking forward to that starting in a couple of weeks and getting a lot of work done on other writing projects. So, yeah, that'll be nice.
So party at David's house is what that means.
That's right.
All right, cool. All right, then it goes to you, Jen.
Okay, so the Brian Fuller project that I mentioned earlier is that American Gods is coming to the small screen on Stars, starring an actor who really kind of blew me away on The 100, which is Ricky Whittle as Shadow Moon. The cast is just absolutely astounding. Gillian Anderson, Dane Cook, Cloris Leachman, Ian McShane, Crispin Glover, Orlando Jones. It looks like a lot of fun. It looks like it's going back to Brian Fuller's sort of quirky roots. The book was it was great fun. Obviously Neil Gaiman, great writer. So I'm looking forward to that. But I just have to really quickly, because I just finished it yesterday, give a shout out for The OA on Netflix. Netflix is just doing amazing things for genre, period, in terms of their TV shows. The OA was, you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. Apparently the theories are going crazy on the interwebs, which is a lot of fun that a show can really get people to just think about the possibilities. It is either a supernatural explanation or a science fictional explanation. It could go either way. But the last 15 minutes of the last episode last night just tore my heart into pieces, stomped on them, put them back together. I'm still not entirely sure how I feel about it. So if you haven't watched it yet, go see The OA. Great addition to Netflix's genre lineup for 2017, and I know there's a lot more coming. In terms of books, I have to, on a very selfish note, give a shout out to Mike Cole's novella, The Fractured Girl. I'm not sure quite when it's coming out. I believe relatively, at least in the first half of the year.
Yeah, galleys have been sent out.
Exactly. So it stars a 13-year-old gay girl. And I think Duke and I have been looking forward to it since Mike first told us about it at Lone Star Con in 2013. So I'm excited about that. And then personal note, I'm hoping to survive the year, first off. That would be nice, with a roof over my head and my children fed and passing all their classes and my husband doing the same. But I'm also going to be doing a monthly column on the Skiffy and Fanti web page about classic children's books. So if you have any suggestions about what I should be reading, my first one is going to be on The Neverending Story, which I have to do because it's probably the most life-changing book of my childhood. And then up next is The Last Unicorn, which I've never read, even though I love the movie. So yeah, if you have suggestions for what I should review, please let us know at skiffyandfanti@gmail.com. So that's all she wrote.
Do you remember the song, Jeff?
The Last Unicorn! That one?
No, not for that one. No, for the other one.
The Never-Ending Story! I will always remember.
So, as we had mentioned off-podcast, because Mike is off-podcast, been singing a lot, we thought that there might be a musical episode. But then you heard what Jen and I just did, and I think now you may wish that that was not the case.
Well, so rehearsal is an important thing. I say this as a former member of a band that was paid to perform at least a couple times, so that totally makes me legit.
We can release it at the same time as the musical crossover episode between Supergirl and The Flash, the other media thing that I am super super excited about this year. Their singing will be much better.
Also, apparently when Jen and I sing together, light bulbs in Paul's house just go off.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on in my house.
Is this some kind of Stranger Things marketing campaign?
Yes, I think so.
No!
It's very strange.
Demo Gorgon is not my door.
Any case, I guess it's my turn, yeah? Okay, so, all right, things to look forward to in 2017. So some of the stuff's already been mentioned. I'm also looking forward to Valerian in the City of a Thousand Planets. The superhero movie that I'm actually most looking forward to is actually Logan, which, based on the trailers, looks phenomenal. It might be the best Wolverine movie we've ever got. But then again, it could turn out...
They will betray you. They will betray you.
Let me have this, okay? I just need this. I hope it's good. The other one I'm looking forward to and that David and I are probably going to have to talk about is A Cure for Wellness, because it just looks insane. Are you looking forward to it, David?
Oh, I am, as long as it doesn't turn out to be a dream or he was dead all along, which you always worry about in trailers of that sort. But I'm loving the kind of Inquisition meets Bioshock aesthetic. So, yeah, I'm very curious.
Cool. So that should be a lot of fun. Book-wise, there's way too much stuff coming out this year. John Reeder has a new academic book coming out on science fiction, so I will be buying that and reading it and taking notes. His work is fantastic. Cameron Hurley has already been mentioned. Stars Are Legion is coming out. I think I wrote on my piece 5 Oh My Goshes, because I'm really looking forward to that. The other is, apparently Anne Leckie's releasing a book this year. I don't know what it's called. Supposedly it's set in the Rachi universe, but is not necessarily in the main timeline. I don't know what it is. I don't care. She could write a story on tissue paper and send it to me in the mail. I will read it. I don't care. I want that damn book now. So I'm really looking forward to that. There's also a Samuel R. Delaney book coming out that's a collection of his journal entries and some other books. Far too many books. So many books. Joe McDermott has a book. I'm sure, Mike, you've got a book. David's probably got 8,000 books coming out this year. Alex, I'm looking forward to your book. Paul, when you decide to admit to the world that you write fiction, I look forward to your book. Julia, I look forward to the poetry that you're going to be bringing out, because you, if I recall correctly, you edit poetry now at Uncanny, correct?
That's correct. I edit poetry and reprints. So, you know, it's possible that there will be stories by people you like. I think the current reprint is one by Anne Leckie, actually. So you should head over to Uncanny and read that.
In any case, Jen doesn't write fiction, so I don't look forward to anything she ever does. I'm just kidding. I do look forward to seeing what you do in your column, though, Jen. And Trish, I look forward to your continued secretness. Because you do stuff on the podcast, and occasionally you show up for an episode, but nobody really knows what you do in the background. You're just like the secret, like, figure.
She's our editor.
I know that, but I wanted it to seem more mysterious, to seem like maybe she's up to crazy things.
She is up to crazy things, editing for us.
Well, okay, fair enough.
Well, I could include a link to the Storium game that I played that was the featured game for a couple of weeks, which is a game that they point to saying, hey, this is good, do games like this.
Give me a link to that. I will put it in the show notes. That would be fantastic.
I will do that.
Cool. And then last thing, obviously, I will be at the Helsinki Worldcon with most of the people on this podcast, so that should be exciting. And I'm going to NASFIC this year because it's in Puerto Rico, and I've never been to the Caribbean, even though my primary research specialty is the Caribbean. So this would be a first time going, and it should be really exciting, I think. I hope so. It'll be hot. It's going to be really hot. Yeah, so this year's going to be a crazy, like, international crazy year. So yeah, so that's kind of it. That's all I got.
That's all we all have, right?
I think that's everything. We're good.
That's a lot of good stuff.
Yep.
And I'm going to say that I, for one, and expect my colleagues with me, we're going to do our damnedest to make this a good year in every way that we possibly can, so that if it's bad in other ways, we can help you celebrate the ways that it is awesome and make it more awesome.
Hear, hear.
Ditto.
Word.
I absolutely agree with you, Mike. I think it's really important that we all actually go ahead and try to celebrate the things that are worth celebrating and remember that there is still good stuff in the world, and don't let all the bad stuff keep us completely down and make us give up hope, which is why I am often putting pictures of flowers and other pretty things on Twitter. So if you follow me on Twitter, you can look for your source of happy images.
I follow so many puppy Twitter accounts now. All of this stuff is great. It's not complicated, but it works.
And I think I can speak for most of us when I say that the reason that we love genre, or at least one of them, is that it is a place where the things that we believe are best for the world that we live in can exist and show us a hopeful future.
I super agree.
Yep.
Definitely.
Cool. Well, yeah, so 2017 should be an interesting year for the podcast, is I think that's what that comes down to, yeah? Full of happy things and joy.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Somehow we'll figure out how to podcast puppy pictures. If we can figure out a way to just transplant it into your brain, we're going to do it.
Twitch IRL. I'm looking into it.
Awesome. I like it. Excellent. So hopefully 2017 turns out to be at least a marginally better year than 2016. If not in the world outside of this podcast, then at least within it. And if you have anything you'd like to let us know that you're looking forward to or that you really love from last year, you can send us an email. Let us know about it. That's skiffyandfanty@gmail.com. You can also yell at us on Twitter @skiffyandfanty, or you can find us on Facebook. We're easy enough to find there too. And as a friendly reminder, do please support us on Patreon, patreon.com/skiffyandfanty. And that kind of gets it. Yeah, cool. Well, thanks everyone for listening, and we will be back with more stuff soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, all.
Bye.
Cheers.
Stay frosty.
Have a good 2017, citizens.
And on that note, awkward ending and scene. Thank you for listening to the show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us at skiffyandfanty@gmail.com, on Twitter @skiffyandfanty, on Facebook @theskiffyandfantyshow, and on Patreon @patreon.com/skiffyandfanty. Our intro and outro music comes from The Launch by Chronux. You can find out more about their music at freemusicarchive.org.